Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Say What Again Billy podcast. And this is from the United States news. As you guys know, I give my news segment every day, and I only have one little piece of news for you guys this week. From United States news, as posted per Joe Rogan, Space Force boss acknowledges the United States will begin facing threats from outside of Earth. This is definitely not a conspiracy theory. Space Force confirmed from a chilling fear in the United States government. So they are basically saying that we are going to start getting threats from out of this world. Now, it tends to be that these reports come out when there's things going on in politics. Now, I tend to read the news and try to not get into politics as best I can because I'm kind of over it by now. But every time these UFO pieces come out now, or these warnings from the government, it's when some other things are going on in politics. And there is one political party that a lot of things were uncovered most recently within the last few days. And I find it very funny that within the last few days, this report followed. So it kind of just backs up the people that are claiming UFOs are being used as a distraction to keep us looking a certain way when there's other things going on. Now, I agree with that to an extent. I'm big into conspiracies, especially the whole government thing being the government being a, you know, corrupt and trying to do this New World Order thing. And I believe it because I've seen some crazy things in the last few years, especially. But I also wholeheartedly believe in UFOs. And I can tell you right now that I've seen more than one UFO. One of them in 95 that I saw, I can describe vividly and remember very vividly. And if I had a camera at that time, when I was young, that if I had taken a photo, it would have been one of the best pieces of UFO footage ever, because I could describe it in detail, and what I saw was a genuine spacecraft. In the weeks and months and years recently, UFOs have been decreasing in size. A supermodel, I believe a Colombian supermodel, took a video of a UFO flying by in a plane that she was in, and it looked to be a football size or maybe a little bit bigger. One of the best pieces of evidence caught in the recent years. But I do wholeheartedly believe UFOs are real. And I do also believe that the government is using UFOs that are an actual real thing and using it towards their advantage of a distraction. So I'm actually going to take both sides, the side that claims UFOs are being used as a distraction and the side that believes in UFOs. But I'll leave it up to you, my listeners of the Say What Again Billy podcast, to determine whether or not you believe in UFOs. Or I might just have Charlie come on here one day and you'll hear him talk about how he believes and doesn't believe, like I do every time I get my hair cut. Now, in this episode, we are going to be talking about something I've touched on in season two, the shadow people. Now, we're going to retouch on things I've talked about. However, in this episode, Joey, his wife Ashley, and her father, which would be his father-in-law, are going to give their accounts and a little bit of a talk right at the start of this podcast, after I'm done talking here, of things they experienced. Stories from Joey, experiences from Ashley and her father, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. And then Joey and I are going to join together via phone call and discuss what shadow people are. Because Joey and I were talking about what the correlation is with the shadow people from paranormal investigators catching them on camera, or random people, to the shadow people aspect in sleeping. Are they one? Are they separate? Or is this something completely different, totally irrelevant to either subject? So I'm going to end off with this. Hope you guys enjoy. And I'm going to play a clip that Joey recorded from his father-in-law and his wife, Ashley. And then you're going to hear Joey be called in, dialed in, and we're going to talk about some stuff. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. So sit back, relax, and listen to Joey's April O'Neil reporting.
Hi, everyone. This is Joey from the Say What Again Billy podcast. I am here with Ashley Samudio, my wife, and my father-in-law, Mike Samudio. We're here to talk about sleep paralysis and our experiences with it. I'll preface by saying that my experience is not as severe as Ashley's experience or Mike's experience. And I'll let you take over from here, Ash.
Hello, everyone. I think last week we were discussing shadow people, and that kind of brought on several experiences that I've had throughout my life with, shadow people, so to speak. I've suffered from sleep paralysis for as long as I can remember. It's not really consistent, but I have had it come in waves over the years, where I'll have them consistently for weeks at a time and then won't have them for months, years.
How many times would you say you've had it in your life?
Probably around, I would venture to say anywhere from 50 to 100 times. Wow. That's just kind of over the course of many years, so maybe not that much, but I'll have them, like I said, I'll have them for a couple weeks at a time, every night or every other night.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is it always the same experience?
Not
or
always.
Does it vary?
It does vary. There are some consistencies that kind of stick, like these shadow people that everyone talks about. For me, it's not necessarily the Hat Man or I don't know, some people talk about it being potentially aliens or being abducted or having an outer body experience, but for me, it's at least consistently, there's always a shadow person or shadow figure that comes into my room. A lot of the time, I'll wake up with it already at the edge of my bed, kind of hovering at the edge of the bed, and then it will come and sit on top of me. I will hear whispers in my ears. Sometimes the shadow figure is not there, and I'm only hearing the whispers, but I'm looking around.
You're still paralyzed.
Yes. So that's it. I'm paralyzed. I can't move. It's really hard to breathe. It's terrifying. I start to panic, but I can see the room around me. I can see the walls, the bed, the closets. I mean, it's as if I'm awake, but I can't move anything.
Now, could it be that you're in a dream state, you're sleeping, but you're remembering the room around you?
It's possible. I mean, I don't know all of the scientific sides to it, but I do know that they've proven sleep paralysis as a real scientific thing that actually happens to people, there's a disconnect.
Millions of people suffer from sleep paralysis.
Right, exactly.
And I mean, that the Hat Man, the figure that you talked about, that's that's where the story of Freddy Krueger comes from.
Right.
So there's a lot of history behind sleep paralysis that goes back probably thousands of years in documentation.
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes across many cultures. They talk about it in some form or another, being pretty much consistent with the same type of description, either a dark shadowy figure that comes and takes your soul at night or things like that, to just seeing a figure with a hat, a top hat.
And Mike, what's your experience with sleep paralysis? The same? No figures, or is there a figure?
No, you know, for me there wasn't a figure. There was an imaginary being, spirit, something that was holding me down, and I had it a couple times in my life that I remember. The second time I don't remember any details, but the first time I was 18 and I was asleep and I was at work, and there were two guys up watching TV. And right around the corner from me, and I could hear them speaking clearly, and I heard the TV, I heard everything going on. I was awake, I just couldn't move any of my body at all, and I was trying to move, and the fact that I couldn't move was the most panicked I've ever been in my life. Mm-hmm. It was terrifying, and it was had somebody sitting on me or weighing me down is the best way to put it. And so I was thinking, I don't know what this is. Is it a ghost? Is it a spirit? Whatever. I'm going to try to talk to it, you know, let me go, type of thing. None of that worked. And then I remember if I could just move my pinky or my finger or anything, I can break this and this hold. And so I was trying as hard as I could to move my fingertips, at least one of them, and it wasn't working. And as time went on, it just ended. And I remember taking a deep breath and being a little bit short of breath because I was so scared. And I remember those guys were just sitting there. And when I got up and walked out, they could see something was on my face. And not realizing I was just in the most terrifying moment of my life.
Yeah.
Trying to break that disconnect. And like my daughter said, I had heard somewhere along the way in the last few years them talking about sleep paralysis. And it's the reason why some people will sleepwalk and some people won't. The sleepwalk is not a complete disconnect from your dream. So now you're up and walking. Where most people are dreaming and walking in their dreams, they're not getting up and walking around the streets in the house. That disconnect is necessary and normal. But sometimes you're awake and it's not quite connected.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like you're very aware of the fact that you're not 100% awake, and you know that you're, at least every time that I have had it, from the moment I am a quote unquote awake, because I'm not really awake, but from the moment my eyes fly open and I realize I'm having a sleep paralysis dream, my mind is racing and I'm thinking, I need to move my hands. I need to figure out how to get out of this, because you're so scared. You can't move and you can't just get up and run away from a scary situation like you would if you were awake. You know, this is scary, I'm going to run away. You're literally weighed down. You can't move or breathe and you're fighting it the entire time. And then the moment you wake up from it, if you're not, well, at least for me, I don't know about you, but if you don't actually get up, move, wake yourself up, it's really, really easy to keep falling back into it.
Yeah.
So every time you wake up, and sometimes I think I'm awake. I'm like, oh, God, that was so scary. And then I realize
falling back into the same dream over and over again.
Now,
I will say to the listeners that Mike has had a long career, a 30-plus career with the Los Angeles County Fire Department as a paramedic.
City. Not county.
Sorry.
We will correct you on that one. We're very prideful in LA.
So he understands a fair bit about the medical aspect of what's going on. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say, yeah. And then also the human side also.
Right.
And maybe that's not clear why I said that. But there is a human side to these things too, or at least in various scenarios, there's varying degrees of human behavior that might be a part of it too, and
mental illness.
No. It's just being a human being. It's a very complicated thing, and emotions and dramatics. Or on the other side, there's the real medical problem or the real the reality of the situation, not just a human being. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I made that clear, but it could be complicated. But people are people.
I get what you're saying. There's also like a spirituality of the side as well as medical to the side, because as human beings there's still a fine line that hasn't been distinguished between the paranormal and reality or the spiritual world, I should say, you know. So not knowing to 100% or 100% degree that, you know, you're positive that this is it. There's always that off chance that, hey, everyone's experiencing this one similar thing and we can't really figure out why. And why is everyone seeing the same figure, or why is everyone having this same sensation? Can we really narrow it down that we know exactly what's going on in the brain at that very moment that it's happening to this person? And science hasn't actually distinguished and answered all those questions.
Right.
So I do get what you're saying when you say...
And it's really easy to fall into believing it, feeding into it, especially because you feel like you're watching it happen and the emotions kind of take over. And you're like, oh, you know, say an example that you gave when someone was... like feeling as if they were having some sort of a spiritual or possession.
Right, right.
And they may want to believe it so badly, and then the people around them are also watching it and want to believe it so badly, but then the moment everyone steps away,
it's done.
It's done. Right. So I think you're a skeptic for the most, but you come from a really...
No, I'll just try to simplify this really, really quick.
Yeah.
You realize people have patterns of behavior, and sometimes people believe things because they want to believe things, and sometimes things are very clearly not what they believe, but there are other things that are unknown.
Yeah.
And we're always aware that we don't always say always in the medical field, and we never say never.
Yeah.
Because there are those open doors that we haven't been through yet.
Right.
And so when somebody might appear to be just emotional or something, you've got to prove it to yourself first before you act on it or don't act on it. Because if somebody is actually having a medical problem and you're sitting going, oh, this is phony, because you've seen so much of that, then mm-hmm. you're setting yourself up for a downfall.
Sure. Right.
But people are complicated, but then there's reality too. And it's just a mix of both.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about my experience a little bit. And I want to say it was sleep paralysis because I couldn't wake up and I knew I was in a dream. I knew I was sleeping. I knew I was in a dream. I could sense that this wasn't reality.
But you weren't paralyzed.
I was to a degree because I was trying to wake up because I was... So I'll get to it. I'm in this dream and I'm in a forest and I'm walking in this forest and I look over my shoulder and there's this black figure standing there. Mm-hmm. And so I start walking a little bit faster. And then I look back, and he's a little bit closer the next time that I look back. But I never saw him walking or running towards me. So it put me in a panic. I started running in this dream. Mm-hmm. And I slowed down in the dream, and then I looked back again, and he was right there, like right on top of me. And I turned again, and when I turned again, I felt this deep scratch from the middle of my back all the way to the lower end of my back. And that actually snapped me out of the dream because I was trying to wake up. By running in that dream, I was trying to tell myself, wake up, wait, this is not real, it's not real. Right. And when I woke up screaming because I could feel it and I was sweating, like a deep sweat, and I woke up screaming. So I go to the bathroom to wash my face off. And I was just like, wow, that was the craziest dream that I've ever had in my life. And I knew that it was a dream and I couldn't wake up. And I still felt the pain. I still felt that scratch. And when I turned around in the mirror and looked mm-hmm. at my back, there were three scratch marks running down my back from the middle of my back to the lower half of my back.
It's creepy.
And for a while I was like, did that thing scratch me in my dream? And then I was like, no. And for the longest, and it's very possible that I scratched myself, but I don't remember how, and I don't know how I would have done it. My arm would have had to been positioned behind my back in a way where I don't remember scratching myself. And when I woke up, my arms were in front of me.
Maybe it was Turkey, your cat.
Or there could have been, I always try to say there could have been a delayed reaction. I scratched myself.
Yeah.
I was still asleep, right? And then when I woke up, my arms were in front of me and I woke up screaming. But it was so instantaneous in the dream that I still have that feeling like mm-hmm. something scratched me from within the dream world or that thing. And the skeptic in me says that that's probably not what happened. What happened is the latter of what I said, is that I did scratch myself at some point in my sleep and I was feeling possibly the pain throughout, and maybe it was amplified in that specific situation in my dream and caused me to wake up in a panic.
But that, by definition, that would not be sleep paralysis.
No, by that, I guess it wouldn't. But it was a shadowy, dark figure. Yeah. And the topic that me and Billy are talking about is the shadow people, and are they real? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we talk about, or the topic that we're going to touch on is not just the sleep paralysis aspect of the shadow people, but the shadow figures that are actually making it into reality, and that people say that they have filmed or seen in certain haunted homes or facilities, like the one that we talked about on our last episode. So are they peering into reality? Is it, there was a few theories that I had on the last podcast about it, and the listeners can go back to the last one and tune into that last one so they can understand what we're talking about a little bit in this one. I won't get into it too much, but I do want to say to the listeners, I'm sorry that we couldn't get in front of Billy and make this happen between the four of us, but I'm glad I got your insight, and I hope everyone enjoyed our, you know, our stories, and hope you have some of your own. I know the listeners are going to be tuning into this one because a fair bit amount of people do have sleep paralysis.
I think the shadow people, for what it's worth, are very real for the people that it's happening to. Is it one single being that comes to you in your dreams? Is it? I don't know. But I do know that when you're in it and when you're dreaming it or experiencing it, it feels so vividly real. Like I felt the mattress under me bend when it sat on me. Like,
well, let's just not have them come around when we're sleeping together.
No, yeah. Well, and in this apartment, actually, I've had the sleep paralysis, but I've not experienced the shadow person in this apartment, only the sleep paralysis.
Yeah, it's because I'm there. Yeah. They're soft.
Sure. But I don't know. And maybe it's just maybe it's energy. Maybe it's the place that you're in. Because I really only, that's not true. I've seen it before, but the most I've experienced it was in that apartment that I lived in the city. Mm. It was only in that apartment. And maybe a few times in the past, but that one, every time I had the dream, the shadow figure was at the foot of my bed in that apartment. And it was not, it didn't happen here.
Well,
so
that stinks. I'm sorry that I didn't do that. But thank you for joining us, Ashley and Mike. I really appreciate the conversation and the insight. And mm-hmm. I hope Billy's followers enjoyed this. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Everybody, welcome Joey to the Say What Again, Billy podcast.
Hey, Billy, how are you?
What's up, buddy? We haven't done the phone thing in a while.
We haven't. We apologize to your listeners for the quality for tonight. We had some scheduling issues, but we're working through it.
So everybody just heard the interview you did with your father-in-law and your wife, Ashley, and some crazy stuff because I didn't know he had stories as well.
He had way more. I didn't want to push it with the recording there, but we were off air for a little while talking about some really interesting things that maybe we can even touch on at another time. Like I took some notes and some things that he said, so it'd just be really interesting to touch on it. Maybe even this episode.
You know, he sounds like a very intelligent. I noticed that he worked as the as a paramedic, you said, or
paramedic? He's a paramedic for 30 years, and now he is a G5 pilot for the last 10 years. I mean, he's always flown planes since he was young, but in his later ages in retirement, he decided to take on flying, and now he flies jets for a living.
Wow, that's some career to do that. And then
he's a smart guy, man. I'd love to pick his brain more one day.
I was going to say, he sounds like a very smart man, and I was also going to say, it sounds like, and I don't blame him for this, because last week we were touching on, you know, you have to have that skepticism to you. You have to be like a skeptic. And he sounds like he's not really convinced the sleep paralysis and what we're going to touch on with the shadow people are, you know, that are, they're a real paranormal thing. He sounds like it's more along the lines of, it could be
explained.
Yeah.
But he's also of the wherewithal to know that not everything is explained by science and medicine, and that there are still some things about, you know, the brain and quantum mechanics and the universe that we don't understand. And because we don't understand them, we have to take that at face value.
Yeah. So
I you know, I was listening to Ashley's story, and I didn't hear any of this prior to when you sent me the interview, and I played it, and then I started, you know, filming the segment before you came on, and she's had quite a few experiences.
I didn't know she's had so many, but apparently she has reoccurring sleep paralysis.
See, that's crazy, because there's, you know, I don't know if you got to watch The Nightmare yet, but there's a few people that were on that documentary that had the sleep paralysis thing happen to them for quite some time. And even recently, a couple weeks ago, when I had Lindsay from the Chilling Podcast on, her whole paranormal ordeal started with sleep paralysis. You know, her ordeal started with her sleeping in this room, having this experience, but it wasn't really, that particular experience wasn't really shadow figures. She said that she saw a woman, and the woman would come very close to her, and then she'd wake up. The first time it happened, she woke up and she was next to her boyfriend, as per one of the shows that she was on, and she was telling that story. Did she actually ever have any experiences, you know, beyond sleep paralysis, or a definitive moment when this actually started happening?
I don't know if she can pin it down. I'll ask her, but I feel like she might not be able to pin it down to the first time that it ever happened to her.
See, what I'm trying to do is, and I've touched on shadow people. I've touched on Hat Man. I've touched on sleep paralysis. But now, well, this is going into like personal accounts from, you know, you now, and, you know, you film with me pretty much every week now, and you have, this is your wife, your father-in-law. And what I would like to do tonight is try to talk about, does the shadow people correlate with what paranormal investigators see at haunted locations? You know, we touched a little bit on it last week when we were talking about Waverly Hills, but I wanted to get your opinion on that, because, you know, it seems to be that, I would say on a percentage, about 70%, 65%, to be a little bit, you know, even, I guess, claim when they have the sleep paralysis experience that they see some form of a shadow person and or the Hat Man. And your father-in-law, his, you know, his first story, he said that he was, I guess he was sleeping in like a station house, because it sounded like he was describing a station house.
Right.
Before they get a call and they have to run out, because paramedics are, for people that don't know, firefighters are not the only ones that get a call and get into the truck and go to the call of the fire, wherever it may be. Paramedics also do that too. They have designated, like, not a firehouse, but a paramedic house, where they get these calls and they get into the ambulance and they take off. And it sounded like in that story, he was describing that two guys were around the corner and he was, I guess, sleeping. And his occurrence happened where he was genuinely terrified after it happened.
Well, for sure. I guess I've never experienced sleep paralysis where I'm actually awake and I can't move my body. But I did ask Ashley a question, and I wonder if right before they go to sleep, they're aware of what the room looked like that they were in.
They're actually
dreaming, but they can't get out of that dream, and they're stuck in their room, in their dream world, in that dream state. You know what I mean? It's not so much that they're looking around, seeing their room, but that they are, and a lot of people swear to, you know, hey, I can move my eyes around, I can look all around my room and see everything in great detail, but I can't move my body. Which, I mean, if you're in one place particularly often enough, you start to learn and memorize the details of that space. So it'd be real interesting to know if they can recreate sleep paralysis in some way, and find out if the person is actually in the dream world, or if they're actually able to look around and still not be able to move their body. I watched some of that documentary. I know you saw it from front to back, and
twice.
I don't know did they touch on that at all in that documentary?
You know, they, you know, at first they really tried to, I thought it was a documentary to try to like disprove it, and they did try to. And the only thing they can really say with sleep paralysis, and even stuff that I've researched online, is that when you're in this REM, that is a possibility that you could be so tired that part of you wakes up, but your body's, you know, is paralyzed because it's resting. Like there hasn't been this trigger to tell your, you know, your body, oh, you know, I'm up mentally in the mind, I'm up, but the body's still resting. Because I don't know that the scientific term for it, but your body does, you know, kind of subdue you while you sleep so that you don't harm yourself. You know, you're not rolling over and tossing and turning and falling down and so on and so forth.
Right. And makes sense.
You get that twitch. And, you know, you ever get that twitch when you're sleeping or you're about to fall asleep? You get this like strong twitch. It's your body telling you, just giving you a signal you're not dead. You know, you ever get that? I don't know the term for it, but like if you're falling asleep or you're in a deep sleep, you tend to twitch. It's your body like telling itself, I'm still alive. So what they like, there's been these studies where you could be kind of awake, but part of you is still sleeping, which would be your body. So you could physically see what's going on, but your body's not awake yet. Like your body's not awake, but your eyes are open, your mind's awake. So as far as like it being in a dream where you could see your room, it's possible. I'm not going to say it's not possible, but I think that the majority of people that have sleep paralysis, they're genuinely, their eyes are open, you know, and they're looking around, they're describing the room. And their body's just not able to wake up yet. Physically, their body's not awake. Their mind is awake. And but what's scary about the subject is, which science can't prove, because like I said, I've watched the documentary. I've read a lot of articles online. Sleep paralysis is actually kind of common. It's not something that's like, you know, a 1 in 6,000 thing. It's like it's very common. And I haven't found an article that can really describe why people are seeing these images. I think I might have come across one. You know, it's like your mind is awake, your body's asleep, so your mind is still kind of waking up. So you're getting these images of maybe something in a dream, like a dream to reality crossover, but you can't really pinpoint what you're seeing, and that's why the shadow people pop up. But too many people are seeing the same thing and having these horrific, you know, occurrences. You know, your wife said that she's had something sit on top of her. It's hard to breathe, your father-in-law said. It was very hard for him to breathe. He was trying to move his fingertips, his toes, and he couldn't do it. And you get this, you know, this fear factor while having it. And science really hasn't elaborated on why people are seeing and experiencing fear and seeing shadow figures, especially one in particular, which is the infamous Hat Man.
Right. AKA Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, I know that the story of the Nightmare on Elm Street is, you know, definitely.
And ironically, well, not, I guess not ironically, they took it from this urban legend about falling asleep and seeing the Hat Man, you know, like for those who haven't seen Freddy Krueger, I don't know who hasn't seen it. Most people have, but if you haven't, Freddy Krueger only comes to you in your dreams, and you only make him more real by believing him and fearing in him. So the more you're afraid of him, the more he becomes a reality in your life.
Yeah. Story definitely came from Hat Man. It's because he, you know, he wears the hat, he has the claws. The experiences people, like I said, everybody has this sleep paralysis, and a majority of people describe seeing shadow figures, and a lot of people describe seeing Hat Man, or they see Hat Man and two shadow figures accompanied with him. You know, one shadow figure standing on the right, one shadow figure standing on the left, and and all they do is stare. And then there's those extreme events where, you know, Ashley said that it sat on top of her and you can't move. And there's these terms for these particular types of demon that came about in regards to sleep paralysis. And the succubus and incubus, when, and I talked about this with Lindsay, is that the succubus is the female version of this, the night of the sleep paralysis demon that will sit on top of males, paralyze them. And the incubus is actually the male version of the demon that sits on top of the females and paralyzes them and, you know, does things to the people while they sleep. And, you know, in paranormal terms, sleep paralysis demons, they terrorize you on a nightly basis. It's just basically try to slowly kill you. Biblically, I can't, I would assume they, you know, they can't really physically harm you unless, like, you're totally possessed. So the only way to get to you without being physical, I would assume, is to attack you while you're sleeping, right, which would be, could kind of correlate with sleep paralysis. So, and to be honest with you too, we're trying to figure out now too is, why we're there, why this is happening, and, you know, people are having trouble waking up. Now, did Ashley come up with a way to, like, wake herself up, or she kind of just lets nature take her course?
She just lets nature take its course. I think she's kind of, like, been there before. I don't know how afraid she is now every time she has it. But apparently, I mean, she's had it while we're together and living in our current apartment, but not frequently. But she's never, like, woken up in a panic. I mean, she's had bad dreams in the past for sure that she comes and wakes up and tells me about. But it's I think she kind of keeps it from me and doesn't really let me know, like, hey, I couldn't move last night, you know, like maybe she just want to scare me or something. Or but yeah, she hasn't seen any of the shadow figures in our new apartment, which is interesting because in only one apartment did she experience the shadow figures standing at the foot side of her bed and then climbing on top of her and sitting on her. And she described to me in the past as though, like, she could feel her bed sinking down, like, and remembers hearing her bed, like the springs going down. Now, I don't know if that's something that you can, like, imagine and hallucinate because you're also feeling, like, really weighed down by this experience. But, I mean, it's one of those things that we don't know yet. That we do know that it is very possible that sleep paralysis is accompanied by mass hallucination. There are some studies out there, as we're talking, I'm looking some stuff up. There are some studies out there that show that there were certain people that experienced hallucinations while in an induced sleep paralysis experiment. Whether those hallucinations are real or just hallucinations, I guess it's really up to interpretation by the individual. You know, like, who's to say that it's actually not really happening to them? Maybe we can physically watch, you know, like, for instance, I know in Freddy Krueger, people would fall asleep and they'd watch them and nothing is actually happening to that person. And that person is just, like, sound asleep, right? Like, but in the dream world with Freddy, they were actually really getting hurt. And the movie was like showing the agony that person was in inside of their body in that dream state. Right. So I would venture out to say that it's up to the interpretation of the individual, you know.
There's only one way in, you know, hearing this right now. And I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen a study on YouTube, but I would say, you know, you said you were talking about investing in mics. I think I would personally, I would tell you to buy a video camera where you could put it in your room. Now, people do that. They put video cameras in their house, right? And I would say to put the video camera in your bedroom so that it's angled on, you know, you guys in the bed. Now, she's still currently having sleep paralysis. The best bet is to put that video camera up and record and then tell her, listen, I need you to let me know that if you have a sleep paralysis, you know, occurrence to let me know so that you could play back the video of that night and pretty much like see if you could see anything. If you see, you know, like it'd be weird that, okay, so let's start with the non-weird because the image is like a little like, it's a little much. But imagine like, okay, she tells you she has the experience, right? And you play back anything. You see her tossing and turning. She tells you, hey, I had the experience. But then you show her the video and you see her moving a little bit. You can then pinpoint that it was a very bad dream. And, you know, what you said before, she was dreaming of the room and dreaming the scenario up. Now you have the flip side of that, where you have this camera set up and she tells you, hey, Joey, I had sleep paralysis last night. And you go onto the film and you replay it and you see her laying there with her eyes open and, you know, panicking with her eyes open, not moving. And maybe you catch something else. You know, that's when you give me a call and be like, hey, Bill, proton pack here now.
Get over here. We got demons to exercise. You know, bring the Bible.
that would be my my call to action, is like to invest in a video camera and place it in your room above the bed and actively record, you know, what's going on. And you know, because she's still having it. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, she has had it in the new apartment. She's only seen the shadow people, what, once, you said?
It's more than once, but it's not in our new apartment.
I will
say this, like, she is a sound sleeper. When she falls asleep on the couch, I legit have to pick her up sometimes and take her to the bed because she'll be out. Like, I'm like, Ash, wake up. And she won't get up. And I'm like, shit, I got to pick her up. Otherwise, she'll stay on the couch the whole night and then complain her back is hurting. So she does fall into deep, deep sleeps. And I'm not that sound of a sleeper. Like, maybe that's why I haven't really had an experience with sleep paralysis. Like, something, I could hear something and in my sleep, and if it doesn't sound right, and I'm almost like super aware of my surroundings while I sleep. Like, I can hear something go on in the door in the apartment and I'm like, is somebody at the door? And it'll wake me up out of a dream because I knew that that was reality and where I was currently was in a dream. It's a strange thing, but I wake up right away when I hear something in the apartment that doesn't sound right, you know?
Yeah. Some people knock out and they're out for the entire night, which I wish I could sleep like that, because I religiously wake up maybe 2-3 times a night. You know, if I were to go to bed at 9:30, 10 o'clock, I'll be up by 12:30, and I got to go to the bathroom. Because I drink massive amounts of water, so like I pee like at least like 12 times a day, you know. And then 3:30 in the morning, I'm up again, you know. Recently, my sleep patterns has changed. You know, I wake up now early in the morning and go to the gym before work. So now my day's off. Like this morning, I was off today. I woke up at fucking 4:30 this morning. I was off. I was like, well, I'm up. I'm going to the gym. I'm getting it out of the way. And I was off today. So, you know, there's some people that they have this luxury of being able to sleep through the night. And then there's some people that they wake up and I guess those deep sleepers would be more prone to more lucid dreams and weird sleep paralysis happenings, I would assume. But what you're describing, or what you were talking about before, is what was the word you used? The hallucinations. Right. I think when you're sleeping and you're dreaming, you know, a hallucination is basically the equivalent of a dream. I mean, you're out cold, you're knocked out, you're sleeping. There's definitely a difference between dreams and like the sleep paralysis. You know, dreams, shit doesn't make sense sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, right. You'll see someone and you'll be like, oh, I think that's Billy in the dream. You know, like you're convinced in the dream that's Billy. And then you'll wake up and then you're like, trying to remember the dream, and you're like, you know what, I thought it was Billy, but it didn't look like him. Like, I have dreams like that all the time, where I know it's this person, I know my brain is trying to perceive somebody, and in the dream I'm like, yeah, that's Joey, that's this person. And then you wake up and you try to recount the dream, and you're like, you know what, didn't really look like them, but I knew it was them. You know, dreams are
they don't make sense.
Yeah, they don't make sense. Now, people that have these experiences of sleep paralysis, let me tell you, man, they know what's happening. They know they're in their room. They're recounting everything. And it's kind of hard too, even in dreams. Dreams are not accurate. I've never had a dream that was like pinpoint that I could tell every detail, like of an actual place that I live in or go to. So to recount everything in your room, item for item, detail to detail, is very hard. Because dreams is just, it's like every memory and everything in the back of your mind being filtered out via a dream. And it's so hard for your mind to imagine everything in detail and then dream it. Because I've never had a dream where everything is 100% accurate. I've never had a dream. I've had dreams of my old apartment. I have reoccurring dreams of my old apartment that I used to live in growing up, because I lived there for so long and I have good memories there. Me like being in my old room, and I could see the hardwood floor that I used to have when we pulled up the rugs. I could see the window and the view of the church down the block. Like, in when I have this reoccurring dreams, for some reason those things stand out. But the rest of the room, I can't make out. I know I'm in my old room, but I'm not accounting every detail from what it looked like when I lived there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the definitely some interesting stuff. And, you know, your father-in-law's point of view too is, you know, like a man of his stature having an experience like that. And, you know, I guess he doesn't really have an answer for it. He has a theory for it, but, you know, it doesn't really sound like he's on the board, to me at least, that he's on the board with paranormal.
Right. No, he definitely isn't. He's more on the skeptical side. Like, there has to be an explanation why this happened to me. And he's aware of the scientific explanation of what actually happens, that you go into REM sleep and that you actually wake up during REM sleep, but your body is still in one of the phases of REM sleep where your muscles are shut down. So he understands that, but I still feel that there is a bit of, I wouldn't say belief, but he understands that we don't know it all. And no one really has the answer of, and this is the most mysterious thing, is like, why are a lot of people seeing the same figures? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Not just the shadow, right? Like, okay, you could chalk it up to like everyone seeing different types of shadows, but a lot of people are seeing this individual with the hat, right? It's almost the same shape, and they describe it like in great detail, a lot of people. And this dates back to like the Native American times. The Native American people have stories, and they have a word. I'm trying to actually look it up now. They have a word that they use to describe it, and they don't even like to say the word. Like it's taboo for them. They don't like to bring it up. But yeah, this is going back thousands of years. It's not like a current recent phenomenon. You know, people have been dealing with this for a really long period of time. And I guess if you're a primitive culture, you're going to automatically associate everything with like the spirit world, right? But now we have Google and we have this, and you know, people have an experience like that. And it's like, okay, we're going to try to discount paranormal almost right away and try to get to the bottom root of what's causing this and why we're all seeing the same thing or feeling the same feelings. For me, it's not just feeling the same feeling of the paralysis and staying still, but I want to know why everyone is seeing the same figure. Like Ashley said, she didn't see a hat man, but she saw a dark figure sitting on her chest. And I don't know if she can remember the detail of what this individual looked like or what this entity looked like. But, you know, it's dark. It's described as like a typical shadow person, you know.
So you were talking about the Native American folklore, and I'm literally trying to find the word that you're talking about. However, I did pull up the sleep paralysis folklore via Wiki. And in every country, there is talk of sleep paralysis, and they describe it with not only the a Hat Man-esque demon. They have different, every country has different beings, I guess you could say, that correlate with sleep paralysis, but there's a lot of countries here. Scandinavian folklore, sleep paralysis is caused by a mare, a supernatural creature related to the incubi and succubi, which is what I told you about with the, you know, the two types of demons, male, female, for the corresponding sex. In Fiji, the experience is interpreted as Kana Tevoro, being eaten by a demon. In Albanian folklore beliefs, oh boy, this is tough to pronounce, Mokti is believed to be a male spirit with golden fez hat. Oh, there's the hat again, see? In Albanian folklore beliefs, Mokti is believed to be a male spirit with a golden fez hat who appears to women who are usually tired or suffering and stops them from moving. Now, in the Albanian folklore, this demon or whatever, this spirit has a hat. In Nigeria, it's called an isp. It appears to be far common and recurrent among the people of Africa descendant, among whites or Nigerians in Africa, and is often referred to within African communities as the devil on your back. In Turkey, sleep paralysis is called karabasan, and is similar to other stories of demonic visitations during sleep. When they have these experiences in Turkey, supernatural being commonly known as the jinn, which is very common in the Middle East, comes to the victim's rooms, holds them down as hard enough so they allow any kind of movement, and starts to strangle the person. To get rid of the demonic creature, one of them pray to either Allah by reading Al-Falkak and Al-Nas or any part of the Quran, which we'll get into too, because that's a very common way. The only way I've heard to wake out of sleep paralysis is to do some form of prayer, which is pretty crazy because we can't pinpoint why people see the Hat Man or shadow figures. And the only thing I've ever heard working to get out of sleep paralysis is a form of a prayer, which is right. In Turkey, in the Wiki, it's saying that you pray to Allah by reading Al-Falak or Al-Nas or the Quran. Thailand, believed to be sleep paralysis, discomfort caused by a ghost of the Thai folklore, the Fiam. Some people claim the spirit may even cause bruises. In southern United States, it's sometimes referred to as witch riding. Eastern Chinese folklore thought that a mouse can steal a human breath at night. That was a movie. It was like a little troll. Ever seen that movie with the little kid? And the troll comes out of the wall and tries to kill the kid by like taking his air. I forgot what movie that is.
I think I have. It sounds really familiar.
Yeah, I don't remember the name. I remember my mom putting that on one night, and I was like scared to death. I was like, God damn, this little mole person couldn't come out of the room and kill me.
Was that with the kid from the Wonder Years?
I know if I asked my mom that movie name. Movie like that. Yeah, I remember seeing it, and I was like scared to death to go to sleep at night. And I think in the movie, a cat ended up saving the kid. So there's this. I'm not going to read the whole list because, but if you go on Wiki and you type in sleep paralysis,
it goes on and on.
Europe from Iceland to Hungary to Greece, and different types of like names for these things that appear, and the picture that's depicted on Wiki is a very very famous photo, The Nightmare by Henry Fuseli in 1781, and is thought to be one of the classic depictions of sleep paralysis perceived as a demonic visitation. And the Albanian one that I read is crazy because it has a hat. And I think we're gonna go right into what can get you out of it. Like I was telling you a little bit before, the only thing I've heard, and I like I said, you got to watch The Nightmare like in full. The only thing that gets people out of sleep paralysis is prayer.
Right.
There
could be a reason for that.
But that's what I'm saying. It's weird, dude, because people are seeing this when they know they're awake, and you know, multiple stories have these shadow figures, but also there's a multitude of stories that people are so scared because, you know, that's a terrifying experience. You can't move. You can't defend yourself. You can't do anything. And the only thing you can resort to is prayer. And it's like, and people have done that, resorted to prayer, and they can't even speak because you can't move your mouth. You know, you try to shout to your partner that's next to you, your wife, your husband, whatever, and you can't even talk. So they start saying in their head the prayer, you know, the Lord's Prayer, or other prayers of your religious, you know, beliefs. And it seems to spook the demon, and the demon just makes a sound, or you could see the fear in the demon, and the demon leaves. There's on the nightmare, there was a story one of the people told on there that it was either a guy or a girl, and they said that they started praying and they saw the demon spaz out and disappear. And wow. Yeah, and you know, try, I want science to explain that, why that works.
So Ashley's father had a good explanation for me off air, and he used to tell me that sometimes he would encounter on some of his calls throughout the years that he would go on to a call and a person would be possessed. They called 911. They brought the paramedics there. The person was claiming to be possessed, and they had all their family around them in the room, and they're touching them. They're saying these prayers. They're trying to get this quote unquote demon to leave this person. And the family's scared. And he said that he knew right away that none of the people in the room were, for lack of a better word, educated enough to know what was actually going on with that individual other than, you know, a demonic possession.
Right.
Right. So if he would have went the logical route and tried to explain to them, like, okay, your mother is having this meltdown because she has this psychological problem, they would have just didn't believe him. He would have caused a real problem. People would have started arguing. So sometimes what they would do is they would have everybody leave the room, because he knew right away, like, and from experience, that people would overreact. The more people that are in the room, the more the show goes on, because it's feeding into this person's hallucination, so to speak, and into their psychological trauma that they actually really have, / mental disability that they have. So when the people would leave the room, all of a sudden, like, the individual would calm down. He would just stay there for a while and not do much, and maybe like say a prayer with that person, and then the person would calm down. But what he was experiencing, or what he was saying that he experienced, is that it was brought on by more people. The more people that were there, the more the show went on. When people left, the demon, quote unquote, was exercised and left.
What is that called? Like mass psychosis? Well, kind of like a reverse, where people affect other people.
For sure, yeah, and especially if, like, you know that there's attention going on to you, and you're the center of attention, and you have this, you know, fixation with attention, you're gonna play it up, and sometimes like unintentionally, because they have that mental disability of needing that, you know. Some kind of attention in some form or another, and physical. He said physical touch would always bring it out the most. You touched her, and you know, she would, spaz out even more so, he would say. So he said sometimes people want to believe, and even the people around her, they want to believe so much that it's this one specific thing, and there's no other explanation for it. How can you logically tell them that there's another explanation for them without giving them some actual real schooling and knowledge for an extensive period of time. So I do get the paranormal side of it. I do understand why people feel so strongly about it, but I also understand that maybe they may feel differently if they actually knew what was going on psychologically first and foremost, and then try to make an assessment whether, okay, this person is not having a psychological break, but something else is going on that I can't explain. Or they are having a psychological break, and this is very explainable and very, very fixable with therapy, you know?
I agree that people are a little too stubborn to realize that there's something going on medically, and they resort right to, oh, they must be possessed, or, and you know, they don't want to believe in science and like modern day medical treatments. But there are circumstances where people are perfectly healthy and
right.
Things should not be happening. You know what I mean?
I agree.
They're, you know, like your wife, you know, I would safe to say you don't think anything is wrong with her. Like, she's not going through anything nuts. And, you know, when we're having a conversation right now that she's, you know, she said that she had sleep paralysis 50 to 100 times, you know.
I think she's of the belief that when she was seeing the figures, that now knowing more about it, she saw the nightmare, by the way, as well. But she also saw something that I sent her way back when she told me that she first had sleep paralysis. And it was about the mass hallucinations while sleep paralysis is occurring and what part of the brain is activated, et cetera. I'll find it for you. I'll send it to you. But they kind of went into depth about why people are hallucinating. But again, it doesn't explain why people are seeing the same figure. And that to me is what piques my interest, is like, okay, you could tell me why people are having these apparitions that they're seeing in front of them and then are sitting on them and then are holding them down. You could explain to me why that's happening in their mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
But explain to me why they're seeing the same hatted figure, and that they can't explain.
So, you know what's pretty crazy? That's what I'm saying. The nightmare hasn't had an answer to why they're seeing the same thing. Like, why, you know, we talk about pareidolia, right? We discussed that fairly recently. Yeah. And pareidolia basically tries to make you see a face or an image, you know, mainly a face, but it could also be a full body, a full image, right? Now, if you're having this sleep paralysis and your brain is activated and only one part of your brain is activated and so on and so forth, why would the pareidolia include a figure with a hat? You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make sense,
right? It's something that's very specific. Now, you could say a face, I saw the person's face, and you could start describing the type of face, and I feel like most people would come out with a description that's probably pretty similar if they were describing the face of this figure, but the figure doesn't have a face. But a hat is an adornment. It's a very specific thing, you know?
And the hat's described a certain way 8 out of 10 times as well. You know,
yeah,
right. It's been described differently. Yes. But it's been described as a cowboy-esque fedora. You know, it's been described as a top hat. It's been described as a, a 6-point hat, you know, like what they use that they wore in revolutionary times. But for the most part, it's described as like a fedora. And it's just odd, like you said too, like your brain is picking out a figure wearing a hat. It wouldn't, you know, like your brain would try to pick out if you are hallucinating and having a very lucid dream.
A type of facial pareidolia. Why would it be a hat?
Yeah. Or a figure acquainted with the hat. Yeah. So there's actually something very interesting, and I came across this a while back, and now that we're on
or a hood. The hood is a thing as well. I don't mean to cut you off, but like my experience, it wasn't technically sleep paralysis. I know your listeners heard it and you listened to a bit of or the whole clip. My experience was in the dream. I couldn't wake up, and it was more like the typical Grim Reaper type of look. There was a hood. He had a hood. He was cloaked in black adornment, but I could tell that it was clothing. It was like this big hooded figure, and he was tall. He's very tall. But I guess a hood is also a very specific thing too. But again, prior to that dream, I had seen images of the Grim Reaper, right? We've all grown up seeing images of the Grim Reaper in drawings and cartoons. And so maybe my brain was like, hey, you know, like, you don't like looking at this thing. You kind of fear it on the low, and you don't really recognize that you fear it, and it's going to come up and manifest in a dream one day.
See, that's the thing about dreams. It's just weird how you get these random dreams. You know what I mean? Like, I had a dream the other night. I didn't even tell Amy about it. It was just fucking so, it was like horrific. It was like really horrific. And I'm like, why did I dream that? Like, I don't understand why I had this dream. It was like really bad. You know what I mean? Right. In a nutshell, I'll tell you the dream because we're on the dream subject. It was like I was in this apartment, but I was looking at like out of like the view of a Ring doorbell camera. You know, when you have the Ring doorbell installed, you can watch the video feed through your phone. So I'm not gonna say the name of my friend because he listens in, and I don't want to fucking scare him. But I in the dream, I'm looking in my phone, or I feel like I'm in the apartment, but I know it's like a video. You know what I mean? And I see him pull up in the car, and there's a staircase, like four steps, but he pulls up in this car, and I see him doing something in his pocket and handling something. And then he goes up the stairs and he points a gun in the doorway and he starts shooting. And then, like, I'm in the dream. I'm yelling. I'm like saying my friend's name, and I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then there's another scene where he's gone, and his the baby, they have a baby, this particular friend walks up to the door, and something happens where, you know, the baby gets hurt. I'm like, the baby. And then there's another scene, the same baby, same, you know, comes up to the door, and like a car crashes into the door, and the baby's there, and I see the baby like fall over, and I'm yelling, the baby. And I'm not in the dream, but I'm watching this, you know? And then I woke up and I'm like, what the fuck was that, bro? Like, why did I have a dream? Like, I wasn't even in the dream.
Yeah. You were like an observer in the dream.
Yeah. I was like observing this, like, basically horrific.
I've actually had those observer dreams before where you're just like, you're not in control of what's going on, or it's just happening and you're watching it, but you're not even a part of it. You know?
And I know why I had the dream of him, because I was just talking to him, and I play a game online with him, you know, for a lot. But like, to have that type of dream with the violence that was in, I'm like, why did I have that? You know what I mean? Like, that was scary and horrific of itself,
right?
You know what I mean? Like I said, and the point I'm trying to make is dreams don't make sense. You have these it's like it's been described as everything you see and you live through, it's like sponged in the back of your head, and it needs to be filtered out, you know, not forgotten, but filtered so that it's just not stored there. And then the only way to do that is via a dream.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know why. And then, you know, what's crazy about dreams too is when you have these dreams, we're talking about the sleep paralysis, you could feel the pressure of a demon sitting on your chest, and you know, you're having trouble breathing and stuff like that. Yeah, I've had plenty of dreams, and I know it's not just me, where you could feel yourself, like, let's say you're falling off a building. You could feel yourself falling. You get that stomach feeling. You know, I've had dreams where I can smell. I've had dreams where I've seen loved ones, where people tend to say that, you know, if you've lost a loved one recently and you see them in a dream, that's their way of saying something to you, which I don't agree with. It's nice to think that, but right. You can smell, you can touch, you can, you know, it's crazy. Dreams is definitely like a mystery that we'll never figure out. Like, we can, scientists can tell us why we have dreams.
Who's to say it's not real if it actually feels real, you know? If it felt real and it happened in your dream, it's part of your reality. Even though it's layers into your consciousness, it's not part of your physical reality, but it's part of your reality, that dream. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You experienced it on this journey of life. So technically, it's real, you know? For instance, like, I was listening to a podcast about DMT trips, dimethyltryptamine, psychedelics. And apparently DMT
Would you?
Oh, no, I don't think I could. Yeah. I want to stay right here on planet Earth.
Yeah, I don't think that with that DMT stuff, you have to be living your best life to have a good trip on that. But if you are not doing well and you're like have any kind of anxiety or anything like that, yo, the little elves you see, they're going to try to kill you and there's gonna,
like, or whatever else is on that trip that you're seeing.
I no fuck, it's a no for me, man. No fucking way. But go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry to cut you off. Your answer on that.
So when you die, science knows that your brain releases large amounts of that DMT. Molecule, I should say, DMT, dimethyltryptamine.
It's just been discovered recently that we do have that in us. Small increments, or we can produce
it. And we produce small increments of it in the dream state. I could be mistaken, but I do remember hearing that.
Rogan talks about that a lot.
For sure. And he's done DMT. And what he says feels what it feels like hours is actually just minutes. And Harvard recently did this study where they gave DMT in a slow IV drip to a group of individuals over the course of a few months. I guess you could probably look up the study and pull it up now. But apparently they're able to figure out this DMT realm, stay in it for long, extensive periods of time, and they can navigate it and actually live in it. And then it kind of takes me back to something else I heard on a podcast where somebody did a large dose of DMT. And this guy was saying that he had a family in this trip, that he lived an entire life. And when they pulled him out of it, he was upset because he was like, I lost my family. I lost my children. And it wasn't just like normal. He was like, I was a family, but I had a family, but we lived underwater and I had gills and I could breathe water. I didn't breathe air. I breathed water. And we had webbed fingers and webbed feet. And we swam everywhere. And just wild, like, vivid detail of this long played out trip. But in his mind, he had a family and he had children. He must have been in that dream state, or what felt like in that dream state, for years. But he was only in it for, I think, I'll pull up the podcast and maybe we can, like, post a clip of it on Instagram to go along with what we're saying. But I think he was only gone for maybe like in total, maybe like 30 minutes on this trip, but it lasted a lifetime for him in his mind, where he was able to describe in vivid detail, like, the life that he lived with his family in this underwater world. Kind of wild.
Yeah. That's,
But it's part of his reality. It's part of his life. He'll probably still believe it to this day. Like, I had a family. I miss them. I love them. You know, like, it's just strange.
That, you know, that goes to, like, show you too, because we've all, I mean, I'm talking that as if I'm the only one, but we've all had really pleasant, nice dreams that when you wake up, you're like, fuck, I wish that was real. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I wish I could have stayed there for a little longer.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. I've had dreams where, you know, you have what you want, you yearn for, and back in the day, I had dreams of meeting people, and you're like, oh wow, you know, like, that was a nice dream, and this person had such a trip that you're describing that. It was such a good experience. You know, I'm assuming when they did this study, he was sleeping? Like, they had it controlled, right? So he had to be like...
I think it was controlled, yeah.
Yeah, he was laying down. Because I watched something on Netflix or the Gaia channel with Amy recently, where they were testing out mushrooms on certain people that had, terminal illnesses to kind of, like, try to help them, battle the fear of ultimately dying. Because once it gets terminal to a certain point, you can't help certain things. You know what I mean? Right. Or people with really severe anxiety where, like, they can't live a day without having anxiety. And these people were having these mushroom trips. This is mushrooms. And they were describing having these life-changing experiences just from doing these trips. These mushroom, like, little, whatever, however they did it. And really, the drugs was actually helping them come to terms with, you know, one person was terminally ill. Like, she was saying that, I'm not really afraid of passing. You know, I've seen, you know, during this time under this mushroom trip that, you know, if this is what it's going to be like on the other side, like, they believe that the trip is what is going to be inevitable for everyone at one point. And, you know, no one really knows, but it's crazy that they go on these trips or these dreamlike states and they come out changed, and just goes to show you that person came out upset because they didn't want to leave their newfound dreamt up family.
Yeah.
It's crazy stuff. We're going to take a momentary pause and we're going to come right back. Welcome back, everybody. We took a momentary pause. Joey and I were just discussing dreams and how they feel real, and studies from Harvard with DMT trips. And I actually found something, Joey, that I wanted to talk to you about, bringing us back to mysterious people or right. figures popping up in dreams. Now, a little before we took the break, I was actually telling you that I discovered something not too long ago. Everybody talks about the Hat Man and the shadow people. And this came up on a feed, and I didn't know much about it. And I started researching it. And now that we're on this topic talking about this, I can bring it up. And this figure or this person has popped up on people's dreams all over the world. And I'm going to refer to Wiki on this. So bear with me. And this person is, or this being is labeled the Man.
All right.
So I'm going to read a little bit from Wiki. This man, according to a website created in 2008 by Italian marketer Andrea Natala, named Everdream This Man. And I visited the website. It's like weird. Refers to this person who has claims to have been repeatedly seen in dreams worldwide since 2006. But was never found in the real world. Natala created the site in 2008, but it was not until October 2009 that it gained attention from press and online internet users. The man's notoriety spawned several internet memes that spoofed flyers of the website, references in films and television shows like The X-Files and the manga series based on a hoax by Weekly Shonen Magazine. The story of the scary man. According to the storyline, later on, in January 2006, until today, more than 3,000 people from other major cities across the world, such as Los Angeles, Berlin, San Paolo, Tehran, Beijing, London, Rome, Dhaka, Barcelona, Durban, Stockholm, Dubai, Gondwara, Pattaya, Sydney, Amman, Ottawa, Paris, Lisbon, Singapore, City Prague, Riga, Tokyo, Karachi, New Delhi, Moscow, Lagos, and Busan claim to have seen the man while sleeping. Also, and I don't know if I pronounced some of those right, but I think I did a great job. also, according to the storyline, those who dreamed him, who remained anonymous, suggest he was a Brazilian school teacher who had six fingers on his right hand. These dreamers' experience of the man varied from romantic, sexual, violence, crime, corruption, deadly situations, to flying with the man, to just seeing him staring at the dreamer, doing nothing. Andrea Natalia when interviewed by Vice magazine for an article that took the myth seriously, thus making Nathala answer the questions as if it was for real, explained that he first dreamed this man before he was aware who he really was. It was in the winter of 2008. This man invited him to create a website to find an answer to his own appearance. Following this man's instructions, he not only made the site, but also produced the mysterious man's index. I cannot pronounce that. I'm not even going to try. Using the mobile device application Ultimate Flash Face. An actual living human that looked like this man was never identified. And there were some who dreamed of him who had no relationship with others also seeing him in their dreams. His voice was also unidentifiable, as it's much harder for someone to remember the audio part of a dream than the visual. It was also rare to him to speak in dreams. However, Natala claimed that he received letters and emails that compared to this man's look, that of a fictional character such as the man in another place and the dummy, and famous real-life figures such as Andrew Lloyd Webber. He also claimed that some, including an Indian guru named Edward Canyon Aya, claimed themselves to be the man, but with no evidence. Now, it doesn't appear... hold on, I'm actually trying to read this. This has been edited. It tells you when it's edited. Mm-hmm. Just reading something real quick. I don't know if this has been debunked yet. I'm actually just trying to see if this has been debunked, because I've seen this pop up on, you know, like the algorithms on Instagram. But this was apparently another figure that people were claiming to see in dreams. And I just found it very interesting. It's like an unidentified man in people's dreams. I'm actually, for everyone listening, I brought it up because it's something to do with dreams. I don't know if this was debunked or not, so I can't just wholeheartedly say. It says, even after Natal's confirmation, serious coverage of the man continued into the mid-2010s from publications like Vice magazine. Vice contacted the site. Natal answered questions as if the site was not a hoax. However, on the same day, the magazine published its interview with Natal and released an announcement to its readers that this man was not real. Okay. We run a story. It turns out to be something that was denounced in 2009. It can be easily verified as fake with Signal Google, a Google search. A few people call us dickheads, and the editorial team drown in our own tears. Okay, so there you go. It is debunked. But had me for a little bit because I remember seeing it online.
But for sure, even though it's been debunked, there are things and reoccurring dreams that and figures that that people see and that see in mass quantities that's unexplained.
Well, the whole getting back to like the whole shadow people thing and the hat man, we keep saying that can't really be like pinpointed why people are seeing it. And the feelings that people get and why only a certain thing works to wake people up. From the experience, that's something that science can't figure out. Like, I want to talk to a scientist and ask them, like, hey, explain, I understand. Let's say I'll rock with you with the sleep paralysis thing. And I'll say, yeah, it's a medical thing. It's caused by this part of the brain doing this to the body, so on and so forth. Why does this wake you up? You know, why is there, you said you woke up with marks when you told me your story.
I did. So, now, I mean, as I said in the clip, like, it could have been that I scratched myself. You know, I'd like to think that, and that it wasn't something reaching out into the dream world. Because, listen, let's face it. If things are reaching out into the dream world and can actually physically harm you in reality, that is not cool.
Well, there's I'm a very strong believer in your mind being so powerful that if you're able to believe something, if you're able to say, I can do something, I can do this, I can do that, you will make it happen. And it's, you know, we see that a lot in the gym culture, right? The gym culture says, if you believe you can do this and better yourself, you'll see results. And people get into that zone. They make their mindset a certain way, and they get so embedded in their goal and what they told themselves that they get the results and they make things happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's stories of people like mysteriously healing because they believe that so wholeheartedly that they were healed. I've told on other episodes of a little boy who had a terminal illness, and he told his mother one night that he woke up and told his mom, in the dream, I battled the sickness, mommy, and I shot all the bad cells in my body, and I'm done. I don't have no more. And they took the little boy to the hospital the next day for his checkup, and the doctor came out with, like, a dumbfounded look. The mother asked what happened, and the doctor says, your son has no more cancer. It's completely gone. And the kid was, like, at stage 4.
Wow.
And, you know, like, did that kid physically heal himself, because he believed in that dream that he had, because it was via a dream, that he healed himself because of what he believed in the dream. So believing things wholeheartedly can really manifest sometimes an actual, you know, outcome. So it's
and that might not even be paranormal. I know it for your listeners it does sound paranormal, but what if it's actually scientific? What if thinking positive can have a positive effect on your cellular structure of your body? We might be able to tap into things with our mind that we can reconstruct and recreate things within our cellular structure, like getting rid of cells that are no good, you know?
I believe that wholeheartedly.
And that would be more scientific than it would be
paranormal. Yeah, no, well, that's, you know... I talk about that stuff too, because it's interesting, because we don't know what we're capable of. You know what I mean? There's always that saying that we only use so much of our brain, and if we were able to tap into the full amount of what we can do, who knows? Like maybe we could move things with our mind, or maybe we imagine if you could actually tap into your adrenal gland, like you can make it activate. Just right. Think about that. Like you don't have to take an adrenaline shot.
Adrenaline on command. You'd be awesome in the gym, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, like you can turn your adrenaline on. And you know, and there's crazy stories about that, where people's adrenaline kicked in such a high stress situation where they were able to do superhuman feats, like lifting cars off people. There was a story on a very, very popular show during the 90s, early 2000s. It was called Beyond Belief. And a father, grandfather, or father, I believe, this is a long time ago when I saw this story. In the show Beyond Belief, they show like 5 clips, short stories of things that are, you know, they're supernatural. They're weird. But you have to determine at the end of the episode whether it was fact or fiction. And one episode had this older man, and I guess his daughter came to visit him, and he lived on a farm. And she told him, I'll take the tractor out for you and cut the grass because, you know, you're having a hard time walking now. You can barely walk. And he did in the show, and they depicted him as not being able to walk anymore. And she went out, and she started the tractor, and it was just outside the house. Excuse me. And she ended up, something happened where the tractor hit like a bump, and she like moved forward from hitting the bump and hit her head on the steering wheel, knocked her out. And she fell to the floor, and the tractor turned because she turned the wheel, and the tractor was turning as if it was going to run her over. And he watched this whole thing happen because he was concerned that she didn't know how to operate the tractor. He got up and walked like he could not walk. He wasn't walking for months, and he got up and he walked and pulled her away from the tractor and saved her life. And that, you know, belief that I have to do this made him do that. And sure as shit, at the end of the episode, at the end of the whole show, they're going through the episode, the short stories they played and depicted on the show. And that particular story ended up being fact and was not fiction.
Right. That's wild. Yeah, we're definitely able to tap into resources of our body that we don't know are there until we actually need them in like a fight or flight experience.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in it. Now, to get back to the shadow people real quick. Do we think that the shadow figure and the shadow people and the Hat Man are just they live in the dreams and that's it? Or do we have a belief that the shadow people we see on investigations in the paranormal world are also one and the same from what we see in sleep paralysis?
I mean, I'm going to say that.
Because that was, I'm asking you a real paranormal question, and you're just getting your feet wet with this.
I know this is, it's a tough question because the skeptic in me says, well, the individuals are probably hallucinating and mixing reality with a dream state, right? And seeing this thing in their real physical room, but there's almost two worlds colliding, your dream world and your actual physical world. Now, when you're on a hunt, a paranormal investigation hunt, like, for instance, you know, we did the sanatorium. We did that episode, and shadow figures have been reported in the sanatorium, you know, notoriously. And you see something like that, and multiple people see it, and you walk out of that experience like, holy shit, what the hell was that? I want to say that they're different, because one is in your physical reality, and the other one is like two different realities coming together. So it makes sense to think that there were two different entities or two different things, right, happening, or two different phenomenon happening. But it could be the same. They could be one and the same. But I'm more inclined to believe there's two different things going on there.
So I kind of have two theories. One, my first theory is that they're actually different. You know, the shadow figures that you see in the sanatorium is like sanatorium, for instance, is what we were kind of talking about not too long ago, last week, where it's like a glimpse of the past, like the remnants of a person, the energy. And it's just the energy so pure at that point in time, you see this dark figure and, you know, you're able, they peek out of a corner, because you always see them around corners, like they peek out or they walk through doorways, and it's just remnants of what was of a person at that time, of a place, in a certain period of time. Another theory is that they're, you know, something that's not pleasant. There could be demonic, because a lot of people are on board in the last few years that what ghost hunters are out to seek are not really ghosts. They're more into biblical statures of, you know, they're demons. And demons are notorious for going after people when they're at a state of, you know, you're vulnerable. And the shadow figures in haunted houses and sanatoriums are one thing, but when you see them in your dreams, that could be very possibly it's demonic. I mean, shadow figures in haunted locations could be demonic too, but, you know, that's just a theory. But when you're in a vulnerable state while you're sleeping, that's when things can happen. You know, another way you make yourself vulnerable is when you play with Ouija boards and you are opening yourself up to things that you're going against faith if you have a certain religion. People that don't have a religion tend to not be effective. It's just my belief with certain things. You don't have a belief, but, you know, if like you're a Catholic and you're dabbling in something you're not supposed to be, like maybe psychics or Ouija boards, you make yourself vulnerable to these demonic entities. And when you're sleeping, what's the most prime to time to mess with someone is when they're sleeping. You're vulnerable. You're not coherent. You know, you're in your sleep, and there's a possibility. No one's ever going to know that these demonic beings make themselves seen and felt via when you're dreaming. And that's why I'm saying this is that's why when certain people can't break the sleep paralysis, they pray or they think of a holy image, the Virgin Mary, they think of Jesus, they think of Archangel Michael, and that's what spazzes the demons off, spazzes them out and ends the sleep paralysis. And that's my two beliefs on that, where these things that people encounter at nighttime during sleep paralysis, demonic, and the shadow figures in haunted locations could possibly be something completely separate, ghost, remnants of the past, or they could be demonic as well. But are they one and the same? Are they jumping from, you know, haunted houses into dreams? I don't know. I can't really definitively answer that. But, you know, you're definitely seeing something very similar in your dreams to things that
what you're actually seeing in the paranormal world when you're on a hunt.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So you're getting your feet wet in paranormal, man.
I gotta see something though to be on board, full believer. But
I can make that happen, man. I gotta get you on a Tuesday or Wednesday. It's too bad I took off yesterday. I had a family event to go to, but I gotta try to catch a weekend where, you know, I could take you up. I want to take you to Sparta Cemetery, and I have my friend Nick that wants to come with too. He's been listening in every episode, and he's like, I gotta go with you. And I'm like, yeah, you come. He was in my group, like he was one of the members, so I'll definitely take him. And we gotta go up there and try to go like at dusk or something like that, and search around there and see if we could find that grave of the leather man. And that cemetery is said to be haunted, so that'd be a good possible way to make you see something.
Hopefully I don't hallucinate anything.
I you know, I was kind of hoping the night
anything into my drink.
No, I was kind of hoping the night we went to Van Cortlandt that something would happen, because that was like the perfect like weather, night, day, everything was perfect. Like, we had the best weather.
Yeah. I mean, and something really like horrific happened there too. So you would think that.
Yeah, no, that story was like, you know, but you know what's crazy is like, there's a couple stories with Van Cortlandt Park, and one story with the mansion is like a couple of like years, maybe, and maybe a couple, maybe like a decade or more, totally different time period where things were happening. I don't know where we were walking, if that's where the events took place of the, you know, the Native Americans being massacred, but I was, you know, we walked that whole park, and then, you know, people report seeing and hearing weird things that whole park. So I thought you're really going to have an experience at that point, but you know, we gotta set it up where you can have some form of an experience.
Definitely. I'm down.
So, you know, next week too, I'm going to take some of these conversation pieces. I have someone coming on next week. He's an active paranormal investigator from Ghost Magnet Paranormal on Instagram. Uh-huh. He's going to be coming on and talking about all of his events and investigations that he goes on, and give a input of what he actively investigates. You know, he's actually doing investigations, you know, a lot. And I am a little envious, because I used to be able to do that, you know, like take a weekend and be like, all right, guys, we're going here. So I'm actually going to ask him what he thinks about like ghosts being, you know, potentially they're all demonic, or does he think they're, you know, remnants of people that once were. I want to ask.
Or still are, if time isn't linear, you know, if time exists all at once.
Yeah, I want to ask him these questions, because, you know, he's doing basis, so he's definitely seeing different things. I talk about it now. Like I said, I used to actively go on investigations. He's actively 100% investigating certain things. He posted something fairly recently, like 15 hours ago. He's at some form of an abandoned, like tuberculosis, no less, asylum. Near like this water, and he's actively in it. So he would be the perfect person to ask, hey, what have you been seeing lately? You know, what's your beliefs? And I'm definitely going to ask him. If anyone's interested in getting a sneak peek of his page, you can find him on Instagram, ghost_magnet_paranormal. He's going to be on the podcast next week. We're going to be talking some, paranormal talk, what he's actively investigating. His name is Bradford. So I'm looking forward to that. So definitely got to listen into that one, Joe.
I'll be there. I'll be listening.
So this has been a good episode, buddy. Getting your feet wet. It's 2 weeks in a row with some paranormal talk.
You know? I know, right?
and then after next week, we'll get into another different subject. because you're not going to be on next week. So like the following week, we got to pick a nice subject to get back into.
There's some good stuff there. I have some good ideas.
Yeah, you can text me those ideas and we'll work it out. So, but for everyone that wants to get informed with a Say What Again Billy podcast, I am on Instagram, SWAB_podcast, which is short for the Say What Again Billy podcast. I'm also on TikTok. I post some reels and stuff on there. It's the same name, SWAB_podcast, if you want to go check it out. Joey, thanks for coming on, buddy. I really appreciate you coming on, phoning in. I know you had a busy day today. And I also like to thank Spotify for podcasters. If you have a podcasting idea and you don't know how to get your podcasting idea out there, Spotify for Podcasters is the way to go. It is totally free. You just download the app. If you have a tablet, phone, or computer, you can download the app and use that to record your episode idea. And Spotify for Podcasters will take your idea, put it into a format, and put it out there on podcasting platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other outlets. So if you have an idea for a podcast and you want to get it out there so you can talk about Hat Man, sleep paralysis, and all crazy other things that we talk about, Spotify for Podcasters is the way to go. Joey, thanks again, brother. And tell your wife and father-in-law thanks for being part of the episode.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us, brother.
All right, buddy. I'll see you soon. We'll talk.
Definitely. Talk to you soon. Later. Take care.